So we're going to transition from that to repentance. But so celebrate. Actually, repentance is a good thing. It's a gift that God gives us. And so last week we started a sermon series called Crossing Borders, based on the life of Jonah. And one of the things that we pointed out is there's a little bit of Jonah in all of us. There's things that we can look at his life and go, yeah, to some degree, I did exactly what Jonah did. I mean, most of you were never swallowed by a fish. Talk to me afterwards. I want to hear that story. But at some point, we've all run from God. We've all had that moment where we knew that we were supposed to go in this direction, and we took off in a different direction. And sometimes we find ourselves in the strangest places. You know, you ask that question, you're like, how did I get here? And sometimes, you know, it's just like when you get to the mall and you see that little red dot and you go, you are here. You know, we go, okay, this is where I'm at. Now what do I do? And sometimes we don't get to that red dot until it's hitting rock bottom for many of us. You don't have to do that. You know, you can learn from me. You don't have to hit rock bottom. If that's what you need, have at it, I guess. But you know what kind of stands out the most to me when I look at Jonah's story? Is Jonah didn't have an ethical problem in the sense that he was mean to the people around him. Jonah didn't have an immorality problem. He wasn't out chasing women. He didn't have a drug. He didn't have an alcohol issue. And sometimes that kind of scares me because I look and I go, I'm probably more like Jonah than I care to admit. You know, if you look at Jonah, I'm guessing he tithed. He was a faithful Sabbath worshiper. I'm just assuming that he was faithful in preaching the Word of God. Jonah's issue is that he allowed something that we would say is righteous anger, and that righteous anger became a dividing border. And at times we can love what divides us more than we love people, and more that we ultimately love God. And for people like me that think, man, I'm too old and I'm not fast enough to chase after women. I've been down some other roads and they don't appeal to me anymore. I look and I go, man, if I'm going to get in trouble, it's going to be right here. It's going to be right here of putting up a barrier and say, I'm not going to reach out to these people. I'm not going to reach out to those that have hurt me, to those who think differently than me. And here's what happens with this Jonah scenario is we develop a Pharisee heart. I mean, Pharisees, they tithe. They showed up. But they ran from God. They ran from God. That's what Jesus told them. And last week we looked at a couple characteristics of runners. One, runners run away from God. They run away from His Word. They run away from His purpose. And they run away from His presence. I don't want to be there. I want to be in God's Word. I want to be pursuing His presence. I want to be pursuing His purpose. The second thing with runners is we hurt people close to us because sin splashes. You're not just swimming in sin all alone. That stuff is splashing out to those that are near you. And Jonah, why did Jonah run? Well, God told him, go to this great city of Nineveh. It's part of the Syrian Empire. And God even said that it was a wicked city. It's not like God didn't recognize the barrier and, you know, like, hey, go talk. These people mostly have it together. Go talk to them. He's like, no, it's a wicked city. And I want you to go there. And here's something I find very fascinating. Why would God want to send him to a wicked city. I think because God wants to call people into repentance. God wants to call people to Him. God wants to call people that don't think like me to come and worship Him. And just so we're clear, this same God that calls you and I to be ministers of reconciliation. We're to be about those that are healing relationships. We're to be those that go out and make disciples of all people groups from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. This same God sent out Jonah. And He said, go to Nineveh. Go to the people you do not like. And you have good reason to like or not like. And Jonah says no. And instead, here's what we do when we run. Jonah went 365 degrees, 2,000 miles in the opposite direction of where God called him to go. And when we refuse to cross those boundaries, those barriers that we've put up, we become runners. And here's what gets me. Because I think I'm against these evil people. And God says, no, you're running from me. I've called you to reach out. Now God in His mercy basically says, Jonah, you know what? This assignment is too important. This assignment is too big. In fact, out of my love, I'm not going to let you run. I'm going to send a storm. And the storm wasn't to end him. It wasn't to punish him. It was to bring him back. And we know in the story, the ship's captain comes to him and says, hey, why don't you pray? Why don't you pray and maybe this storm will stop? And the problem is you know what he's doing? He's talking to a prayerless prophet on the run. All right? And why did Jonah stop praying? Well, like many of us, we know that we've walked away from God. It's like, in that moment, I don't want to hear from God because God's going to tell me to do the thing that I just said no to. And many times, when we're running from God, we don't pray for Him or pray to Him. And many times, the only prayers we'll offer up is say, God, align your will with mine. You know? And God says, no, it doesn't work that way. And so in the midst of this storm, I mean, rather than saying, okay, here's what I think will happen. Turn this ship around and go here, and everything can be saved. Jonah says, throw me overboard. I would rather die than cross this barrier. And then a great fish comes and swallows up Jonah, and he spends 3 days and nights in the belly of a fish. And so all hope seems to be sailing away, literally. And then we're going to pick up the story. We're going to kind of dig in and see, how does this story relate to you and I? So Jonah chapter 2, it's right there near Obadiah. Jonah chapter 2, the Bible reads this. It says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried out, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me, and all your waves and your billows passed over me. And then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. And the waters closed in over me to take my life, and the deep surrounded me. The weeds were wrapped around my head and the roots of the mountain. I went down into the land whose bars closed upon me forever, yet you brought up my life from the pit. O Lord my God, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayers came to you into your holy temple. Anybody relate to this other than the sea billowing and swallowed by a fish? Again, see me if you've got a fish story like that. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed. I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah up or out upon dry land. Now some of you may think that's kind of a crude story of Jonah getting vomited up on the land. I think it's really good staging for a great story. But we'll get to that next week. This week we want to talk about Jonah's repentance. What are you going to do? Well, let's give you a hint here. What are you going to do? You see a guy thrown up by a fish on, half-digested clothes, and he walks up and says, "Repent." I'm with. Yeah. You're falling to your knees right there. God knew what he was doing. So, if sin is running away from God, then repentance is running to God. We need to return. We need to run back to God. And what's awesome about this is we get this incredible picture of God's heart in the midst of repentance. Sometimes we think of repentance as, as God just kind of beating us down. But repentance is God going, "Oh, you see my heart. Come back to me. See what I have for you." And so the things that we see from God's heart first is God answers the prayer of runners. He answers our cry of distress, even when we're guilty. Okay? Sometimes we're praying out going, "Okay, Lord, the world's coming down on me. Everything's crashing in, and it may not be our fault." And other times, it is. It's like, "How did I get here?" Well, you walked right into this. That's how you got there. But God still hears that cry. God hears that prayer. Did Jonah listen to God? Did Jonah do something that deserved God to listen to him? No, he didn't do anything. God wasn't on his way to Nineveh, or Jonah wasn't on his way to Nineveh and, accidentally fell over the, he's just looking around, he's at the back of the ship and it speeds up and he falls over backwards. That's not what happened. Jonah's in trouble. Right? He was running from God, and some of you may be feeling that too, that man, I'm drowning, I'm in trouble. And if you're wondering if God's going to hear your prayer today, we can look at Jonah and go, yeah, he will hear your prayer. God hears the prayer of the repentant. We need to go to him. He's where he is because he blatantly turned his back on God. An amazing thing is we serve a God of second chances. And if you're anything like me, you can just put some exponential stuff on there of how many chances that God has given us. And this isn't an isolated event. Let me read something from Psalm 107. The psalmist says this. It says, "Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the word of God and spurned his counsel, the counsel of the Most High." Right? So he's talking about people, literally probably being in prison and shackled because they spurned the counsel of God. And it says, "So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor, and they fell down with none to help." Then, but you might want to circle that, "then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of the darkness, out of the shadow, and of the shadow of death, and burst their bonds apart." And anybody got a testimony of God reaching out to you and that, where you just cried out and said, "Okay, God, I'm at the end of my rope"? He says, "Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man." Wow. What you and I need to know that if your disobedience is the cause of your pain, this is a great time to repent. This is a great time to cry out to Jesus, and he will answer us in spite of our guilt. God always meets us where we are. I've said before that God loves each one of us just the way we are, but he loves us too much to let us stay there. All right? So God, second, here's something we find out about God's heart. God is often behind the circumstances that stops me from running. He's working in those circumstances. In other words, God answers it in spite of our failings. In verse 3, he says, "For you cast me into the deep." Now, I'm thinking this through. You go back to chapter 1, in verse 15, who threw him into the water? It was the ship's crew, right? He said, "Throw me into the water." And yet Jonah says, "God, you cast me into the deep." And I think Jonah is starting to recognize something, that God was at work in the midst of all of this. Somebody else was doing something. Jonah was doing something. But God didn't go, "Oh man, there goes my plan. There goes my plan for your life, Jonah. There goes my plan for these repentant people." No, God's like, "Okay, this is going to work out even better, Jonah. Just wait till you show up on that shore. That's going to freak some people up." God loves us so much, he's not going to leave us where we are. Third thing about God's heart: God disciplines those he loves. What if he just said, "I don't want to discipline them. Let them just enjoy that." Yeah. You know, and here's the question. So the borders that I put up, the running away from God, I used to do a lot more counseling, and one of the questions I would ask when people would tell their story about running from God, or just ask this question, and it usually changed things for those that are wise, I would say, "How's that working out for you?" "What's not working out? I'm wearing an orange jumpsuit talking to you through a glass. This is not working out really well for me." "All right. Well, do you think that, this would be a good time to turn around, because your plan's not working really well?" And God, in his goodness and his graciousness, is disciplining you. He's allowing you to go through this. 4. God answers and delivers us from impossible circumstances. Verse 5 and 6, it says, "The waters closed in over me," that's pretty bad, "to take my life. The deep surrounded me. The weeds were wrapped about my head and the roots of the mountain. And I went down into the land whose bars closed upon me forever." That's bad. You put that word in, forever. It's a longer time when you put "for" in front of "ever." "Forever, yet you brought my life from the pit, O Lord my God." I've been through some things that I think would be terrifying. I've been in a house that was on fire and had to go through a window, a broken window. But I'm looking at this going, this has got to be incredibly terrifying. It's going to be incredibly terrifying sinking to the bottom of the ocean, and you got weeds all over you. You're wrapped up. You're suffocating. And then you think, "Oh, great, a fish. Now a fish swallows me up." And there's a popular statement, which I'm not so sure is true. A lot of times people say God won't give you more than you can handle. I think Jonah had more than he could handle in this moment. And I think it's because in those moments we recognize, "I need you, God. I am not getting out of this situation alive apart from you." And so I do think God allows things in that moment where he gets to step in and say, "I'm God. I'm God. I will take care of the things that you cannot take care of." And we need to realize that we need to cry out to the only one who can redeem us. So if you're in an impossible situation today, where you look and you go, "I don't see a good ending to this in any way, shape, or form," I have some good news for you. Our God specializes in impossible situations. Hey, thanks. Get those about once a year. Okay, funny story. I'll just step out here. I pastored this country church in the middle of nowhere, and I invited an African American pastor that that I was in seminary with, and I was just impressed with how he preached. And he was one of the ones that would pace back and forth, and he would say, "Does somebody say hallelujah?" And he would do that. And so I told him, I said, "Now, Jermaine, when you preach at the church, they might just stare at you. They might not answer you." And I said, "Don't panic, Jermaine. That's just how white people worship." And so Jermaine came and preached, and the people responded, and they were going along with him, and you know, and it's like, "Somebody say he saved him," and they said, "He saved him." And so I came up the next week, and I said, "Hey, we were pretty much on fire last week. And I just need to know this week, when I say something, somebody say amen, are you going to say amen?" And a gentleman in the front, Burton Johnson, his late 80s, he says, "That all depends, Pastor." So I do appreciate an amen when I get those. So our God, I got an amen that way, which reminds us that God works in impossible situations. I mean, here's what Jesus said. Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Okay? All things are possible. Our God specializes in the impossible. And when we cry out in our distress, he answers us and he delivers us from impossible situations. Verse 7, he says, "When my life was fainting away," he says, I remembered the Lord, and my prayers came to you into your holy temple." I mean, he's having some confidence here, right at what looks to be the bitter end. He's saying these prayers came before the throne room of God. And you know, my experience is a lot of times God comes right in the nick of time. You know, there's been very few times where I'm like, "God answered that prayer, and man, that was super early." Most of the time, you know, it's like one of those things where, I don't think I could stand up and preach today. And for 30 minutes, God gave me strength. He didn't give it to me an hour early. I sat through the whole service, and Bart sat next to me. You know, I sat down during the worship time with my hands on my face, and Bart's like, "Are you going to be okay?" You know, and then when I move around and walk like this, I can see people in the front row kind of like scooting back because they thought I was going to hit the ground. But our God shows up on time. I mean, just think. I mean, Jonah's about to black out here, and in the 11th hour, God answers that prayer. And so wherever you are today, I want you to take courage. And continue. Be unrelenting in your prayers. Cry out to God continually. Cry out to God till he answers your prayer. And God is thorough, right? God is thorough in both his discipline, but in also answering our cries of distress. Now, sometimes it's not comfortable, right? I don't think the way God answered this prayer was very comfortable for Jonah, but I think we need to get out of our heads this idea that it's an all or nothing, you know, that God was going to deliver him and he's going to be sitting on a cruise ship, you know, heading to where he's going to go, going, "Hey, this worked out, you know, God is good all the time, God is good." No, I'm pretty sure, you know, Jonah's not praying, going, "Okay, yeah, swallow me up with a fish for 3 days. That'll be great." You know, and sometimes here's a reality. If you've done this long enough, you recognize that sometimes God answers in degrees or stages. All right, you pray for healing, and all of a sudden, "Oh, okay." Now, sometimes I've seen that, where people pray for healing and then they go get some blood work and they go, "Hey, Pastor, blood work came back great." I'm like, "Okay, that's awesome." And there's other times where I've seen it happen slowly. And we need to be reminded that sometimes God works in stages. And being in the belly of the fish hardly seems like salvation. But what did Jonah declare in verse 9? He said what? Salvation is of what? The Lord. He declared that in the belly of the fish. And so don't disregard what seems to be a partial work of God. Just recognize it. Okay, God, you are at work here. You're doing something. I would like it done yesterday, but here's where we are. And never doubt that God doesn't have good reason. God has good reason for His timing. And it's not always comfortable. Choose a different religion if you're looking for comfortable. All right. If you're looking for truth, if you're looking for God to be glorified, looking for the renewal of all things through Jesus Christ, then you found it in Jesus Christ. Number 6, God answers our cries to win our undivided attention and gratitude. I don't know how many times I've done that where I'm like, okay, you've got my attention, God. Yeah, I was heading this way. It did not work. I'm listening now. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Verse 8 and 9. He says, those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I wish the voice of thanksgiving will sacrifice to you what I have vowed. I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. So at this point, Jonah seems to be coming to his senses. And he's actually filled with wonder. Because he's in his mind, he's saying, who in their right mind would forsake a relationship with God to worship idols? That's the place he's coming. And this is coming from somebody that was actually worshiping an idol. Right? His idol was this barrier. He cared more about that barrier than he did about the people, and then that he did about the presence and the fellowship of God. He chose that over God. And anything you and I place before God becomes an idol in our lives. And Jonah says that's foolishness. That's foolishness. I'm returning to the Lord. When I run from the Lord, I'm running from His presence. I'm running from His protection. I'm running from His mercy. But in that, when I cry out to God, He hears that cry. And God is glorified. And in that, that's when I say, what a mighty Savior. What a mighty God we serve. That in the depths, He will find me and He will save me. Let me close with this one. Lastly, God answers us in our distress and our guilt, so that we will grow in our understanding of grace. You know, when you've been through something, when you've wandered away, you can look back and say, what a gracious God we serve. How great is our God. Our border crossing God wants us to join Him and to make disciples of all people, every tribe, every tongue, every nation. God wants us, you and I, to become like Him. You know, that's the point, that we become merciful like He is. And that's going to be evident as we look at the chapters coming up. But two things that we need to be reminded of here. One, there's a little bit of Jonah in all of us. You know, everybody here at some point, if you didn't turn and run, you at least walked. And secondly, God is a God of second chances. You know? So if He's calling you into repentance of something today, something that you placed before Him, just lay that at the foot of the cross today. And say, God, I give you this, because no matter what comes, I want you. I want you over what even I think I want. And I thank you that you are a God of second chances. And my hope is today that you'll reach out. That God has got that extended hand right there. It says, return to me, come back to me. That you would just grab a hold of that hand and say, thank you. You are a merciful God. Let me pray and I'll have the worship team come up. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that in our brokenness and in our wandering and running from you, that you work in the circumstances and you call us back to you, Lord. We're so grateful for that. And Lord, if there's anything that we place before you that we put above you, that today we would turn from that. We would lay that at the foot of the cross. We would give you thanks. We would glorify in you. And we would share the testimony of how you have met us in that dark moment. Lord God, have your way today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.